Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, welcome. My name is Jonathan Matthew Ritter. Of course, my name is just, God gets all the glory, right? So, but I want you to know my name. But of course, we point to Jesus Christ and everything that He leads me to. Leading of the Holy Spirit, right? That's very critical in our life for the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us as He sees fit. Started this website maybe 3-4 years ago. Maybe I can't keep track of it. A lot of sermons on here. Post devotionals that I do in my personal time, and I do a lot of devotionals, and the ones I come across, I share them. Try to share at least 3-4 a week on here. So you got devotionals on here. You can come and you can read those. I have posted in the past some Bible studies, working on a few right now, but I don't know when I'll have those ready. So there's some Bible studies on here. You can check those out. Quite a few sermons, probably over 400 or 500 sermons on here. 400 to 500. At minimum. So you can check them out. You're on this website, so you'll see all the sermons. I also have an archive section that has past sermons, any from prayer to spiritual warfare, just range of topics. Check them out. Everything's free, guys. You check them out. My heartbeat is for you first. If you don't know Jesus, truly to know Jesus, right? That's the good news. That's what it's all about. And growth. One thing, when I look across the church in America, my heart pours out. I cry over it. The growth. People to grow in Christ. To mature in Christ. Sad stuff when you look across it, and God knows what's going on. I lift it all to Him, and wherever, how I can contribute, where Jesus leads me, I will go. He knows that, and He led me to this this website, and I do this as much as I can. I try to post a sermon every week, but it all depends on God, as I'm reading this, praying over this, the topic He gives me, and the development of that topic can sometimes take 2 weeks to develop. Of course, if you guys have been following the ministry, you know I work 40 hours a week at another job, so I do this. And then, you know, I preach at churches throughout the year, and do Bible studies throughout the year, so that absorbs a lot of time too. But thank God that I have this way of reaching out to those that I may have not been able to reach out to. So if you're here, praise God. Thank God for you coming across this website. It's not by accident. It's by His design. And of course, if you guys have any questions, you can send me an email through this website. Now, if you do send me an email through this website, just make sure you put in the heading, Crucify for Christ Ministry. Also, my little dog, you will hear her barking. She's very animated, so she barks at the very wind or the leaves falling. I think she's got like super hearing. If you do send me an email, make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. And the reason for that is to, if it goes to my spam mail, my junk mail, and I'm going through that, I check that once a month, and I'm deleting it fast, I'll be able to pick up on it. A better way for net, and as long as Facebook don't kick me off, is to private message me, PM me on Facebook, place that let me go put my dog up, because she's just gonna keep barking. Hold on. Okay, I got my dog up, so shouldn't hear her too much. But PM me on Facebook. If you do, just put Crucify for Christ Ministries. If you're not part of my Facebook friends, I will probably ask you several questions. I'm very careful who I place on Facebook. If you're dealing with Facebook, it's a very toxic, can be toxic, right? Adding people on your friend site or whatever, you add the wrong person, you'll get a whole lot of nastiness. Not saying you're going to do that, or I'm just saying I just am very careful in that. It's basically trial and error. In the past, I've done that, and I had to have some tough conversations, and of course, they're no longer friends on Facebook, if you know truly what a friend is, what you want to call a friend. But that's the name of, you know, Facebook and friends requests and etc. But PM me if you have any questions. I don't have, you know, I mean, I can answer your questions by adding you on my Facebook. It's probably the fastest and quickest way to get hold of me. You guys have been listening for a while. You guys have my phone number. Some of you guys have my phone number, so you can send me a message, and y'all do. And any questions that you may have, and I do my best to answer it. If I'm not busy at work and stuck, and you know, I'll do maintenance. If I'm changing a toilet out or something, I got my hand in all kind of gunk. I can't, or some plumbing pipes are busted or something. I can't respond immediately, and sometimes that can take 2 or 3 hours to fix that problem. But as soon as I can, I definitely will reach out and answer your question, because this is an honor and a privilege to be able to answer any questions that you guys may have, especially when it comes to biblical topics. The Lord placed on my heart last few weeks, and I started working on this sermon, and the sermon is going to be in John 3:16, but John 3:16-21. Now, this is John 3:16 is a very memorized passage. It's probably one of the most memorized passages ever, especially here in America. I believe it's one that's misused quite a bit. I'll probably get people angry when I say this name, and I'm not trying to disrespect this guy. He's I view him probably as a better man than I am, but because God gets the glory, I never want to elevate myself above God, but or previous people, and he did a lot of good. He reached a lot of people. Those are things in his ministry that was not right. I believe he started out good, and then he deviated, and that, I don't know how his life was, but a lot of times when that happens, it's usually dealing with prayer life starts lacking, Bible study starts lacking, pride starts stepping in, and not being able to be corrected. We should always, no matter how big we get, should heed correction. So when I say this name, I say all that to say the name, because I know immediately people are going to get mad. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to throw the guy under the bus, so we say in America, run him over. No, I appreciate what he done. I read quite a few of his books. Billy Graham, but I believe Billy Graham misused this John 3:16. Now, everything I said before that, you may, at that point, you ignore everything I said. I'm not disrespecting the guy. I just believe that John 3:16 was been abused by him and a bunch of others over the years, and it's sad. It's sad because it's a beautiful passage, but to quote John 3:16 and not to quote the rest of it to 21, even looking at the scriptures above it, because who was Jesus speaking to at that point? Nicodemus. A lot of times we gloss across that, and we don't realize that Nicodemus, which was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus, and he had these questions, and all that leads up to John 3:16, right? And then 16-21, which in the end, that entirety, I believe John 3:16 should be preached with the rest of the verses 16-21, because that gives the truth of what Jesus is trying to reveal to Nicodemus and what he's trying to reveal to those around or over the years, right, that have read these verses. That's what he's trying to reveal. And it's been misused. And it grieves my heart to look at that. You know, when I look across America and I look at those professing to know Jesus, we can look at their lifestyle, right? Jesus says, by their fruits, meaning their life, what they're producing, you will know them. You have people like, I may say these names, you may know who they are. One popular today is Taylor Swift. She professes to know Jesus. But you look at Taylor Swift, right? What does she promote? I've done a lot of research into this young lady. I pray for her soul that she comes truly to Jesus Christ. But to think her life is not a reflection of a Christian that has a desire to follow Jesus with everything she has. She promotes murder, abortion, as murder in the womb. She promotes homosexuality, LGBT. She defiles the sanctity of marriage, right? Her music, her lyrics, her few songs I can think of, but I haven't listened to everything she's done. But Willow, one of them is witchcraft. Witchcraft is evil. There is no such thing as a good witch. There's no such thing as a Christian witch, although you will hear those terms. White magic is not white magic. It's Satan's way of, it's a way of Satan's masking black magic. Witchcraft is evil, is dark, is satanic. But you're hearing people saying, well, I'm a Christian witch. No, you're not. You are a witch, but you're not a Christian by God's standards. And she is not a Christian by God's standard, not by God's word. God's word is how we weigh everything from ourself to our lifestyle to how we behave. God's word is a standard. From Genesis to Revelation, God's word stands the same. He does not change. He does not look at, he doesn't change with the culture. And here you would poor her Taylor Swift. She promotes sexual explicit lyrics. She believes in having multiple partners to have sex with. All those things I spoke of, show me in the Bible where God would be okay with that. You couldn't. But people look at her as a role model, as a Christian role model. And she's one of many. But I could name Chris Pratt, guy that Jurassic World series, plays in explicit movies, violence, cussing, Denzel Washington, Mark Wahlberg, it's just amazing. And then when you point out their lifestyle is contradicting God's word, immediately you have people come in, the crowd will come and attack you. They will criticize you for being judgmental and say, Jesus wouldn't do this. But that immediately tells you the mindset, right? They'll say, the Bible says, do not judge, lest ye be judged. And I'll say to them, stop twisting God's word to fit your view who you think Jesus is. And the goal of this series is to hammer down on understanding, truly understanding, where John 3:16-21, salvation, right? Who is God? And what does it mean to be saved? And that's really what this series is going to be focusing on is who is God? And what does it mean to be saved? Now, if you're taking notes, write that down. That's the heartbeat of this series. I don't know how long this will go, but we're not going to get in no hurry. We're going to dig deep into these passages, which I believe, and when you hear somebody preach on this again, and it's popular, and you will have knowledge and say, hey, you know, that person, he's distorting this passage. And I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you boldness to approach that person, tell that person, hey, in love, you're not preaching, you're not properly preaching on the text. Now, some of you already may know who God, be able to define who God is through Scripture. You may already be saved and praise God on that. Maybe you do go out there and you do witness to a lot of people throughout the week, giving them tracts, telling about Jesus, telling them about the good news. Amen. So this sermon would be kind of just, you know, you already know it. Problem is, the vast majority don't. I don't know your life. I don't know how you're living your life. I don't know your prayer life. I don't know your Bible reading. I don't know how you're witnessing. I don't know your fellowship. God does. He sees it. When I look across, when I hear people like supporting Taylor Swift, which is millions, millions, and then they're bringing their little kids, and these are Christians, right? Bringing their kids to her concerts and listening to her garbage, and she's clearly practicing witchcraft. This tells me they truly don't understand who God is, and they truly don't understand what needs to be saved. And that is, I'm controversial. People don't like me because of this, because I'm direct and honest. And I believe today we need that. If we don't have more preaching like this, America will continue her collision course of destruction. If we neglect the preaching like this, we're doomed. There is no restoration for America. As I see at her current course, she's headed to destruction. And I cry, and I weep over it, and I look at it, and I say, Lord, you know, and I don't get invited to preach at many physical churches because I'm direct and honest. And I speak out of people like Taylor Swift, and people don't want to hear this, these kind of message. Why? Because they do not know who God is. If you do tell them the version of God who they have in their mind, they want to keep that version. And that's what we're going to get in today. We're going to talk about who is God. And I'm going to, first we're going to read through John 3:16-21. We're going to pray, and we're going to look at that first two words there, for God. But first, let's read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It continues. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, he that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that do truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wroth in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just get to your word. Guide me and direct me as you see fit. Holy Spirit, just pour through me. Reach those that are listening. Lord, open their ears and their hearts to the message. Let them go back to your word and dig into it. You can accomplish more than I can. Your word doesn't go void. God, if there's somebody here that is not truly yours, God, I pray over their life right now, God. I pray through this message or others that you place in their life, that they come to the knowledge of the saving power, the rescuing power of our God, our powerful God. The God that created heavens and the heaven and earth, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God, oh, how mighty He is, the God that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, God, the God who protected Daniel in the lion's den, the God who sent His only Son down here to model this life, that we can live this life through the help of the Holy Spirit to reach those around us. Jesus Christ, who is God. Jesus Christ, who walked the water. Jesus Christ, who healed the blind, the lame, healed the sick. Oh, how powerful He is. Thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit living in those that are truly Yours. Give us strength to endure the time that is at hand, the darkness that engulfs us. Help us be the light and hope to this world by standing firm on truth and who You are. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me take a sip of coffee here. The first two words of this passage is for God. Now understand, my friend, when someone says they serve God, or they say God has saved them, we have to find out what God are they talking about. It is sad that we have drifted this far from the truth here in America. I'm pretty sure it may be in the area that you're at too. And I always ask my question, where did we go wrong? I could say we went wrong with people such as I spoke about Billy Graham, watering down the gospel. Joe Osteen, of course, is popular. Steve Furtick. There is clearly a path where everything deviated here in America. I will make enemies on both sides, but I'm okay with that because I am on the side of Jesus Christ. Once again, I'm not. I pray for Joe Osteen. I pray for Steve Furtick. I pray that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They really get to know who God is. But when we look at our culture and those professing to know God, do they really know who God is? See, they have an image of who they believe God is. They're very important to understand, even asking yourself this question, yourself, who is God? Now, when we look at the Bible, we will see a variation of that word God. You will see the lowercase g, God. You will see the capital G, God. You will even see the plural tense gods in the Bible. Now, when we look at the lowercase g, and we're going to look at the capital G too in this verse, but when we look at the lowercase g, God, who is this God? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God, notice that if you're looking in your Bible, notice that word God is lowercase, of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of capital G God, should shine upon them. Now, when you look at this, I'm pointing that lowercase g. This God has what? Blinded the minds of them that does what? Believe not, right? The other part of this passage and the rest of the passage tells us what they are not believing in. The glorious gospel of Christ. Who is the image of God, capital G, who shine upon them, salvation. See, there is a contrast here with both of these words, God and God. The first one, lowercase g, the second, capital G. See, the God of this world, he is dark. All that's in him is chaos and destruction. But you think of being blind, right? Somebody that's blind, physically blind, they can't see no more. So what, when you close your eyes, right? Say just close your eyes. What do you see? Darkness. There's no light. Now, of course, here, the scripture speaking of spiritual blindness. The God of this world blind the minds of them which believe not. This darkness that they have allowed Satan. Well, I actually jumped ahead of there, but they have allowed him to blind them. Have allowed them to place darkness in their life. And this darkness is absence of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Clearly, Paul is pointing to light and darkness here. The God of darkness is opposite of God of light. Darkness and light does not mix. So who is this God of the world? I kind of jumped to the fast on that one. But if you look at Matthew 4, 8 through 9. Let me turn to that. Matthew 4, 8 through 9. Love the turning of the pages of the Bible. It says, again, the devil take him up on a seeing high mountain, devil, that's Satan, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Here's Jesus Christ, he's fasted for 40 days, right? 40 nights. Intense, right? Long fast. Here's the devil, Satan. He comes to Jesus Christ to tempt him. And this is just one of the temptations. He says, I will take you up on this, I will take you up on this high mountain, and I will show you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, and all these things will I give thee if you fall down and worship me. The devil, the fallen one, Satan, that old serpent, shows Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the image of God, all the kingdoms of the world. Now, I don't know how Satan done this, but Satan is presenting the kingdoms of the world, meaning the glory of them. And Jesus Christ here, right, tells Jesus, I will give you all of these. You can't give something that you don't own. This is why I say this is Satan's world, right? But God's creation. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 4:4 it said the God of this world. Yes, Satan, this is Satan's world, but this is God's creation. This creation has been corrupted by sin, a disease like cancer, a cancer eating away at this world. This is Satan's world. He is the God of this world. When we understand that Satan is the God of this world and darkness is in him, we can start to draw from those who are his, right? And what do we know about Satan? He wants to corrupt everything. The God, capital G, says is good. Best illustration is this, is to look at the Garden of Eden, right? Genesis 1 through 3. God created this perfect paradise, right? No pain, no sorrow, no mortgage, right? No credit card debt, no pain, right? No back pain, no head pain, no migraines. And he created these two human beings, the first human beings ever created, two, Adam, and then later Eve. And they were to live in this perfect garden, right? And to care for this garden, to have children. But what happens? Well, there was one commandment. One commandment was to not to do. They were not to eat from a tree in the middle of the garden. The right. That was right, right? And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen? And here, listen to Genesis 3:1-6. It says, and now the serpent, that is Satan, regardless how you want to view that, you can view that as physically Satan in form, or Satan is using a creature that God created for his deception. This serpent was made was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here is Satan presenting a question to Eve. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of knowledge, or trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know in the day ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be open, you shall be as, note here is that plural word, gods, knowing good and evil. How like that? It's preaching, it's Bible studying, it's wonderful, and I love doing it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband her, and he did look at it. And the husband, Adam, was right there with her. He was not in a distant, physically distant from her. He was watching all of this take place. He should have intervened, but he didn't. And the eyes of them both were open and knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and make themselves aprons. I know it's that 1-6, but let's read this last verse here. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden cool of the day. Adam and his wife Eve hid themselves for the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. They sin has came into their lives. When we look at Satan here, who is Satan? He challenges God's word. He twists and turns God's word. He's appealing to Eve's flesh. He tells her, you shall be as gods. If you never picked up on that plural form, I'm pointing it out, guys. What is he saying to her? This is the same twisted lie that he's spinning today. You will be your own master. You will be your own judge. You will be your own undercover. You will have everything you want, and your life will be so much fun. The serving this God, the capital God, the God that created you, you will have more fun. He wants to hold back from you, Eve. He wants to hold back from you, Adam. He doesn't want you to fully enjoy your life. Joe Osteen tells us today, which is popular, followed by probably billions, you can have your best life now. And when he says that, he's appealing as the serpent appealed to Eve, the flesh. He is an agent of Satan. He is under demonic forces. And he's telling all the material things of this life, you can have. That nice vehicle, you can have it. That nice house, you can have it. Wherever you want, God will give it to you. But I'll tell you, he does not serve the God that we speak of in the Bible. That is the God of that created this universe, this world. Satan does not change his tactics, twisting God's truth. It's been doing this for a while, and he's still doing today, and it still works, so he will keep doing it. Why does it work? Because we do neglect our Bible reading, our Bible studying. Oh, how many Bibles that could be in one's home. Oh, how they collect us. Distraction upon distraction. My friend, it breaks my heart to see that people can binge watch something on TV for 15 hours, but they neglect the reading of God's Word. And I'm speaking to those that profess to know Jesus Christ. A football game is more important than the Super Bowl. Was watched by millions, maybe billions, live. Many people miss church to watch it. Now, if you're not, you went to church, amen, praise God. But man, our priorities all jacked up severely. Yes, that convicting, you better believe it. Will that make you mad? Probably. Will you want to crucify the messenger? You definitely will. Although we are just messengers from God, and maybe one day it will cost us our life to preach messages like this, but so be it. But these messages need to be spoke with boldness to the Holy Spirit, or of course with love. Paul said, did I tell you, I believe it's Paul. Scriptures came to mind, but I can't remember if it was Paul or Peter. So I believe it was Paul. Because I tell you the truth, will you hate me? Paraphrasing. They will hate us, I promise you. Because they're not serving the God, the biblical God, the God, the capital G. They're serving the lowercase g. Their priorities are focused on this world. They're loving the Joe Osteens of the world. They're loving their preachers that don't stand firmly on God's word. And those that do stand, they will be canceled in their church. They will not invite them back to preach. They know they can't control them. I guarantee we are a few here in America that people know they cannot control. They will always get the ones. I pray that will change one day. Vast majority of churches will take the ones that they know they can control. They control them by money. Very best, one of the best ways they can control a preacher is money. If a preacher is in a church, he's making six-figure income, he has a home that the church has provided, I consider that all leverage they can have on a preacher. I would not take a pastoral position unless I was straight with them. You don't control me. The Holy Spirit does. If I step out of bounds, right, and I go against God, something God says in Scripture, call me out on it. But if I'm preaching and the Holy Spirit is guiding me, I'll call you out on it. You don't own me. God does. But money is a very leverage. Material stuff is a good leverage. If they're providing a home to stay in, it's a nice home, it's a big home, that's leverage. They control you. If you let those things, you step into the ministry and you let those things control you, then you're already in trouble. What Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Right? Material things shouldn't own us. People shouldn't own us. We preach the gospel as it is, and it will not be received very well the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ. But here's Satan. He's twisting God's word. See, when we go our own way, we want to be our own gods. And that's what Satan appealing to here. He's appealing to Eve and her desire to be gods. And Satan can understand this. A controversial passage, and I share with many other Bible scholars, which I don't profess to be a Bible scholar, is Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Now, I view this as a dual passage, one dealing with the physical king of Babylon, the other referring to Satan here. Once again, this is, you can disagree with me, that's okay. I know it's a controversial passage, but I view this as a dual passage, meaning it does speak of the king of Babylon, but this also refers to Satan. And we get a glimpse on who Satan was. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, what didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Will I ascend above the heights of the cloud? I will be like the Most High. Yet though I shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Once again, this is a controversial passage, and I get that. But I found the best way to properly interpret this passage is dual meaning. Best way to explain it. I am not a Bible scholar. I just read a lot. But this passage, we can see that Lucifer is son of the morning. This is Satan who fell from heaven. Why did he fall from heaven? He wanted to be God. Right? He wanted to be the God. He wanted God's throne. And of course, this does not turn out well for him. He was cast down, Luke 10, 18, and Jesus speaking here, or it was documented here by Luke, said, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven." Jesus saying, I have seen Satan as lightning. He fell from heaven. I believe Jesus Christ here was pointing to Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, amongst some other passages, but to give the origin of Satan, to tell us Satan does not have our best interests. And when he starts to twist God's word, we should know what is going on, right? Even Adam, if they would have clinged to God's word, the God who created them, the capital G, they would have saved themselves a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, and guess what? We are grafted into that sin. If you don't believe, read Romans 5, 1 and all the way down. We inherit that sin nature from the rebellion, from the disobedience of God's word, his truth. Guess what? The more we disobey, the more we rebel against God's word and his truth, the more pain and sorrow we will experience. Oh, I promise you. You see, sin came into this world. It infected this world. And guess what? Sin or sins in this world infects us. And Jesus Christ is the only cure. But we got to want that cure, my friend. But the truth is, most of them don't want the cure. So what do? We allow Satan to twist God's word, to whisper those lies in our ears. We profess to know God, who he is, and his son, Jesus Christ. We're refining God in Jesus Christ. They will say, I commit sin, but it's okay. God's okay with that. I don't need to repent. I don't need to ask forgiveness. God understands me. God gets me. If you don't believe me, man, look. Look at Taylor Swift. I put her out there like that because she's the most popular right now, especially after Super Bowl. But when you start doing that, people will come at you. They will hit you with everything they got. Why? Because you're attacking their God. Lowercase God, the God of this world. The one that tells them they can be gods. Have everything you want. Sin and keep sinning. Right? No repentance. No grieving. Do what you want. Sleep with whoever you want. Without marriage. Cuss. Get drunk. Listen. Watch wherever you want to watch on TV. Doesn't matter how explicit and violent it is. Watch it anyway. God's okay with that. The new Christianity, which is not new truly, it's just a perversion of the twisted lie that Satan has been using from the very beginning. A while back, maybe you can remember this, there was those bracelets, was WWJD, right? WWJD, what would Jesus do? I was reading an article that was really good by Shane Eidelman. Was WWTD, what would Taylor do? And I promise you, she's doing what her father is doing, Satan. She is twisting God's word. She's being an agent of the enemy. I want to tell you today, and I want to be blunt and honest with you today, do not guard your children from this lady. She does not have their best intention and heart, because Satan does not have their best intention and heart. She is not a good role model. But it's amazing how many people are elevating her, glorifying her, praising her. We need to stop these. We don't need to give these people our money. We don't need to go to theater and buy. She had the whole thing at the theater. It sold out. Number one, I guarantee you many Christians professing know Jesus, they don't really know who God is. God would not be okay with that filth. The God, the capital G God of that filth that you're bringing your little kid to watch, or even your teenager to watch, he is not okay with that. You are confused, and I'm telling you to wake up. Jesus Christ shines light into the darkness. Galatians 5:16-21 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye led by the Spirit, ye are under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, they which do such things shall what not?" What should they do? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, preacher, I don't like that part of the text. So we're not even going to pretend that it even exists. I want to tell you, every word is inspired by God, right? It's God breathed. And what Paul is speaking here, he's speaking to the Holy Spirit as moving him to pen this letter to those, of course, at Galatia, and to those in the around, and to us over the years, and those before me that read through this and preached through this and studied this and say, hey, here it is. You do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you commit adultery, that's sleeping physically with somebody that's not your wife or husband, and that can even mean, Jesus said, if you even look upon a woman, you commit and have lust, you commit adultery. Most guys, we don't guard ourselves, and I can do that. I'm being honest. I'm being real. You won't hear many preachers up there talking like this. Why? Because they have compromised. They have gone with the way of the culture. They have sway to their congregation. They are enjoying where they're at, and they don't want to disrupt the flow. But truly, to have a revival in America, we have to interrupt that flow. We have to be disrupted. We have to speak on what's going on. I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you're a Trump fan and you want Trump to win. Trump is not going to save America. God is the only one that can save America. God is the only one, my friend. The God of this world is so inbred in America is not funny, but the God of creation, the God who created heavens and earth, the God who knows and wants good for us to walk in the light and not the darkness. He wants to come into our life. He wants to invade our life. He wants to rock us, and he wants to send that spark through our body to go out there to that world and tell them who God is. He is not the God of this world. He calls us out on our sin. He calls us to live a different life. He tells us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Oh, adultery in our churches is rampant. The fornication in our churches is rampant. We have couples in our churches that are not married, that are having sex and have been together without marriage, and we don't say nothing about it. Why? Because we have conformed to the ways of this world. We have compromised the gospel, and we will be judged. Oh, preacher man, oh, pastor in that pulpit, oh, don't think you're not going to be held accountable. I pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit drops you so hard, He weakens you to your knees, He pushes you in your deathbed if He has to, that you will repent of your waywardness. And the list goes on, my friend. You go to 20, it talks about idolatry. That's putting anything before God. I always say, during your week, how much time do you give to God? Ask yourself honestly, how much time do you give to God? I work 40 hours a week. I believe I should give God at least 40 hours plus a week. And most weeks I do. Oh, that's convicting. I don't want to hear that. What about my personal time? It's not about you. People take John 3:16 and they make it a man-made gospel for them. Oh, it's all about me, 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 I. Oh, how God so loved me. Yes, God does love us. That's why He gave His Son. But it's not about us, cupcake. It's not about us. It's about how God can use us. Yes, I am overwhelmed by His grace. I am overwhelmed by His mercy. I am brought to my knees how much mercy and grace He has for a sinner such as I. But I am drawn to His calls to walk out into this world and to be a light to who those that need it. My purpose, my dreams, if they don't match up, my will does not matter unless it matches up with His. I want my life to match up with His. But many don't. They say, hey God, fit in my life the way I want you to fit. If not, then we'll just keep pretending. I'll keep faking it until the very end, when God does call you out. If today was your last day and you're doing that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're committing adultery and fornication. You're living in this lifestyle. You're living a lifestyle of idolatry. You're living the lifestyle of witchcraft. All these go down, right? You can look at each and every one. You're living in this lifestyle, and you're okay with that. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will inherit the kingdom of Satan, darkness, everlasting torment, hell. God calls us to live separate from this world. The God, capital G, tells us to walk in the Spirit and less in the flesh. When you look at Taylor Swift, is she doing that? No. Many people elevating her and worshiping her. She died tonight. She will not inherit the kingdom of God unless she repents. If you're okay with her lifestyle, you seek this lifestyle, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. This new age Christianity is just a version of twisting God's word, the capital white G, the God, to serve the God of this world, Satan. And the good news, as long as you got breath in your bone or lungs, you can repent from this, right? Repentance is turning away from your sin, turning to God and say, here I am, God. Direct me, guide me in your light and your path. If my life does not match with Scripture, take that out of my life. Take the darkness out of my life. Inject your light in all aspects of my life. Lord, let your word purify me. Wash me clean. If you truly mean that, the Holy Spirit will come all over you. He will not leave you the same. But you got to mean it. You got to look at your life. What are you allowing in your life, right? Messages like these are surgical. They cut to the bone. They're painful, but they're needed. We got many people that cannot define who the true God is. And when you preach like this, guess what? They're offended. I know I've offended quite a few. Not on purpose. I do in love. The Holy Spirit pours out of me and I preach because we need messages like this. A true revival. This is a true revival. Messages like this, not what the garbage I'm seeing as going as revivals today. Many will close their ears, their eyes, their hearts to this message. And that's between them and God. They'd rather follow people like Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer, John Hagen. List goes on and on. There's so numerous. They'd rather worship Taylor Swift and actors that profess to know Jesus that stars in these vulgar movies like Chris Pratt and praise them. And people like me, they look down on. You're being hated. You're a hater. You're not showing love. I look at America, I cry over America. We're in a deep hole, and only God can bring us out. But God will not, until as a nation, as a true church, stand on the truth of the gospel. Not until more messages like these are preached in the pulpit and received, and a movement grows. But the God of the Bible, who that created the heavens and earth, the one who breathed life in you and me as a baby in our mother's womb. The God who calls us to walk opposite of this world, right? To walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. God calls us to live a holy life, right? The God who tells us that life is not about you. It's so get over yourself. But God can use us. Oh, God, use us. That is the God that we need to be serving. A God that gave his only son to us, to this world, to say, here's that bridge, right, to him, to the Father. But it'll have to change your life. You got to go against this cultural. You got to go against this world. You got to quit elevating people like Taylor Swift above God and others. Centering on God's word. See, if Adam and Eve would have centered on what God told them. Don't eat of that tree, you will surely die. He told Adam and Eve was aware of it. They both had their version of the truth and Satan just used it to his advantage by twisting what God said to cater to what they already wanted. They truly wanted God and his truth. They would have said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. in closing this out, and this is just part one, I'm starting to work on part two. Guys, pray for me as the Holy Spirit moves me in the direction that He wants me to do this sermon series. But the take home is, do you know who God is? Do you know what God, the God that you are serving? Do you know that you're saved? Are you serving the lowercase g God? That first part in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that tells us, whom the God, lowercase g, of this world, blind the minds of them which believe not. As Satan. Least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, that is capital G, should shine upon them. See, God, capital G, can reach into the darkness of this world and rescue that person in grip of the God of this world, Satan. But that person must want to be rescued, right? That person has a choice. And for that person needs to understand that the God of the Bible is not the God of this world. They are different. I pray that you get that. Especially if you're out there witnessing. And you're speaking with somebody and they say, hey, you know, yes, I know God. Oh, amen, I know God. I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. And you're in this conversation. And you, of course, you let the Holy Spirit move you as you're speaking. And a lot of times, as the Holy Spirit leads me, I will first, God will help me understand that person, relate to that person to a degree, but then come to that question, what do you mean by Christian? What do you mean? And then you listen to them. And then you go from there. If you're praying up, staying up, you're reading your Bible, you're praying daily, hours upon hours, you're giving more time to God than you give yourself in a day, witnessing ain't going to be hard. Because, yeah, some people it comes easier than others. But stepping out there, right? The Holy Spirit will push you out there. You may be like, well, I don't know the Bible very well. Well, pray up, stay up, read your Bible. Study it hours upon hours. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say when you're witnessing to somebody. I don't profess to be very smart in the Bible either. I study and study. I wish I had more time to study, but I don't. But I know in my gaps, God knows my heart. He knows I want to study as much as I can. Not enough time in the day. But I know the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. And sometimes He'll just give scriptures. I don't even know where they're coming from. Yeah, I've read through the Bible a few times, maybe more than a few times, but scriptures come to me, and that's the Holy Spirit giving it to me, and He gives me those, and He can, and I am nothing special. He'll do the same to you, but we have to move closer to Him, right? And we do that by praying. That's we do this through the studying of God's Word. And why does preachers keep saying this? We keep saying this because God knows in America, people are not praying like they're supposed to be praying. Period. They're not reading their Bible like they're supposed to be doing. That's why preachers keep repeating themselves over and over and over, because there is a neglect of God's Word. See, if there was not a neglect of God's Word, people like Taylor Swift wouldn't be popular. People like Joel Osteen would not be popular. People like Steve Furtick, they would not have a job. They would have to file for bankruptcy. Clef Dollars, the Beth Moores, the John Hagee, the Clef Dollars, the Kenny Copeland, they would have to file for bankruptcy. Hopefully they probably got money stashed back, so they probably wouldn't have to. They would just have to go back in their hole and stay in their hole. Maybe they'll come out as a motivated speaker and quit calling themselves pastors or Bible teachers and make money for Satan, because they're already making money for Satan already. And those that give their money to these people are just giving your money to Satan. I want to tell you today, if you're listening to these, I don't ask for money. It ain't a thing I do. But I will not reject money for my ministry if you feel led to give it. And I promise you, it will all go to the ministry. I will not use it for personal gain. There's a lot of things I can't do because I don't have the funds. And I know God can provide the funds if it's necessary to do that. And I will use it all for ministry. And I guarantee you, it will be used for God's glory. These guys, they're not using it for God's glory. They're using it for their personal gain. Look at their homes, worth millions of dollars. Look at their vehicles. It's a perversion. And that's why preachers like us, we keep saying, pray, read your Bible, study God's word, because there's a neglect of that. Sin is rampant within the church. Satan paints sin as fun, and these preachers, they do that too. Have sex with as many people you can. What's the sanctity of marriage? John Hagee, what he did, he was married and he slept around and he divorced his wife because of his adultery, and he got him another woman. And guess what? He's praised and he's in the pulpit. Yes, yeah, sexual immorality. They encourage. He should have been kicked out of the pulpit. He should have been put out. He'd stay in the church. But anything with pastoraling, no. Yeah, you can go on missionary trips, but you don't need to be a pastor. You need to step down. You defile that calling. And they think they got away from it. No, God's going to handle them one day. They say, oh, they can repent. Yes, they can repent by stepping down. As long as he's in the pulpit, he is not stepping down. God will handle him. He is not the only one that's done this. Oh, that's harsh. I don't want to hear that. Quit calling names. Oh, we need to call names, my friend. Oh, that's hate. You're just chaos. No, Jesus called names. Paul called names. We call names. Look at Acts, right? I know I'm getting close, but to the end of this, look at Acts with Ananias and Sapphira. I can't remember. I think it's Acts 3, 4, 5. It's somewhere in there. Lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened? Paul tell you, he didn't lie to me. He lied to the Holy Spirit. They dropped dead. He called their name. Don't say we ain't supposed to call names. It's unloving. People say, oh, we want Acts Church. Oh, no, you don't want Acts Church, my friend. Because many in our churches, they are lying to the Holy Spirit. If we had truly an Acts Church, they would drop dead and we have to bulldoze them in holes. You don't want Acts. Be careful what you pray for. But no. Who God is, right? That's the key here. Know who God is. When you're talking to somebody, make sure they know who the God of the world is and who the God of the Bible is, the creator of the heavens and earth, the God who knows our tomorrow, right? And that plural form gods, that just points to our flesh. We want to be our own master of our destiny. We want to control the aspects of our life. We don't want God to have any interference with our life. And we believe that we got our best interests in play. Satan pills. He throws that out there for us. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't want to repent. I love my sin. Oh, I love watching those filthy movies on television. Oh, I love to listen to that filthy music. Oh, I like to listen to AC/DC. Oh, I like to listen to Usher. Oh, I like to look at women even though I'm married and have sexual thoughts. Don't tell me I can't do that. I'm not telling you. God's word is telling you. If you don't want to hear that, then what Paul tells us, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will burn in hell. Oh, you just went there. Yes, I did. I won't listen to you again. Okay. It won't affect me when I die, my friend. Because I know where I'm going. I will not be standing in your gap to say, you know, so-and-so, I witnessed to him. I prayed over him or her. Can I stand in the gap for him? No. God looks at my life. He looks at what he has placed on my heart to do. The ministry that he has given me. To those I need a witness at work and family and friends. I will stand in gap for myself. You reject the message, it falls on you. I pray that you don't. I pray that you listen to this message. If you have error in your life, repent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just getting to your word. God, as we finish this first part out, God, that you just, Holy Spirit, you reach those. And those are still listening to this, praise God, because they want to know truth. They want to know who you truly are. And if we won't have a revival, a true revival, a national revival, a true one, until we truly want to know who the God of the Bible, the one that calls us from this world, the one that is pure light. When people start hungering for that and wanting to know more truly through your word, who you are, forsaking everything else and putting you number one, we will have a revival, a true revival. Until then, we won't. God, I pray, Lord, over those that may not know you. God, I lift them up. You know what they're struggling with. You know the challenges that they're facing. Holy Spirit, just move. God, you know those that are yours and they're struggling in life with the isolation, the desperation that this life can carry. Lord, we pray in their time of need that the Holy Spirit just moves as he see fit. Give them strength and hope, knowing everything that we do in this life, especially if it's for you, is worth it. To match our will up to yours, to match our purpose up to yours, our hope and our dreams up to yours, to walk in your light. For this life is just a temporary speck on eternity, and when you call us home, oh, what pleasure, because all the pain and the suffering that we're dealing with right now, some is not as bad as others, is only temporary. You tell us through your word, God, that we can't even compare to what's waiting for those that love you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Pray that you guys have a good weekend. I pray that you're, if you're listening to this a week, that you're having a good week. Once again, if you need to reach me, you can send me an email to this website. Once again, just place that subheading, Crucify for Christ Ministry. If you have me on Facebook, you definitely can message me through Facebook. Even if you're not part of my Facebook friends, you can PM me, private message me through that. For any questions that you may have, That's probably the best two ways to get hold of me. Those that have my phone number, you can text me. Y'all do. And I know that you love Jesus Christ. I know you guys love Jesus Christ. And you want to know more. And praise God for that. Some ministry small, it's just me. I don't have no secretary. So I try to get to the messages as fast as I can. I love it, though. Wish I could do this full time. But God knows, right? And I wasn't kidding. If somebody comes across this and you're giving your money to these other guys, and you really want to give your money to a ministry that matters, that's biblically based, I have no problem taking offerings from God and using it for His work. There's always things I've been wanting to do on this website that I can't really afford. There's events I want to go to that I want to hand tracts out to. Outreach, can't go to, but hey, God opens the doors where He needs to. I'm okay with that. This is how I look at it. If God don't provide the funding, then it's not in His will, and I'm okay with that. If I'm here preaching on this website for the next 30, 40 years, I believe God will be back before then. So be it. Thank God for that. If it reaches one person with the gospel, and that's the one person God wanted this website, all this to reach, praise His holy name. That I know it's reaching more than that, but so be it. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day. If you have anything, please email me. If you have my phone number, text me. Love y'all. Bye.